We'll be looking in Exodus, the 7th chapter, first 13 verses. There is no one who has ever been step foot in Sunday school or vacation Bible school doesn't know this story. You know the story. But I want to have an aspect of this that I think that will definitely apply to us today. Have you ever wished that you had the courage to make a difference in life? It's not an ego thing. I feel so frustrated at times because I want to help. I want to do it. Either I'm too scared or I'm too, I'm physically unable to help. And I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to make a difference in situations. But lots of times, we shrug our shoulders when there's an opportunity for us to make a difference, and we say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. And let me tell you something, our churches have been doing that for a very long time, and thus you see what you see in this society today. There was a huge oil refinery, and it was caught on fire. Flames shot up hundreds of feet into the air. The sky was thick with grimy black smoke. The heat was so intense that the firefighters had to park their trucks a block away and wait for the heat to die down before they could even start to fight the fire. However, it was about to rage out of control. And then all of a sudden, from several blocks away, came a fire truck racing down the street, and with its brakes screeching, it hit the curb in front of the fire. The firefighters just jumped out and began to battle blaze, and all the firefighters that were parked a block away, they ran down there too. They drove down there and they started fighting the fire. As a result of that cooperative effort, they were just barely able to bring the fire under control. And the people who saw this teamwork thought, my goodness, the man who drove that lead fire truck, what an act of bravery. And they decided to give him a special award to recognize him for his bravery in leading the charge. And at the ceremony, the mayor said, Captain, we want to honor you for a fantastic act of bravery. You prevented the loss of property, perhaps even the loss of life. Is there one special thing that you could have, just about anything? What would it be? And without hesitation, the captain replied, Your Honor, a new set of brakes for the fire truck would be handy. It wasn't his choice, but there they were. Have you ever found yourself in situations like that? You were put in having to face a battle, face an enemy, and you didn't realize that it was not your intention on being there. Well, often there are external circumstances that aid us, in achieving or accomplishing great things, like having no brakes. But in our scripture this morning, we are introduced to Moses. And we're going to find some things out about Moses. Let's just go to the scriptures right now. Exodus, the 7th chapter, not the 2nd chapter. It was a mistake. The 7th chapter, verses 1 through 13. There we go. See, so the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Then Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, and so the magicians of Egypt. So they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and it became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. See, I told you this is not a new story. It's nothing you've never heard before. But I want you to kind of put yourself in Moses' position and begin to think of the times that you found yourself in his position. You see, Moses was a reluctant servant. When Moses approached the burning bush, he doesn't seem to be excited about hearing from God as we might expect him to. Now, you might think, wouldn't it be awesome to hear God's voice? Think about it. If he was going to praise me and heap praise upon me, or if he just said, just keep doing what you're doing, If that was what he's going to say to me, trust me. Come on, Lord, talk to me. Don't know if he'd say that to me. Or to you. In fact, God gives him this great task to do. Remember, he's been in the wilderness 40 years. He's already had he's been 40 years in Egypt, and now 40 years in the wilderness. He's got real accustomed to his life. I'm not saying he didn't worship God, but he did it from afar off, and he remembered the God of the Hebrews. And so God gives him this great task to do, and when he says, "Who am I?" God gives him this task, "Who am I?" It reflects a desire to stay a nobody. Look, I'm comfortable. This is the way I like my life right now, and you're messing it up. I can't do this. You know I can't do this. You see, he had gone from being a famous and royal son to being a fugitive and unknown shepherd, and he kind of liked that. It appears he liked it that way. The feeling we get is that Moses is trying to say, you have the wrong guy. Now, here he's telling God in heaven above, who created heavens and earth, and created him, and telling God, you've got the wrong guy. But what he's finding out is that God takes us beyond our comfort zone. He takes us beyond where we're comfortable. He does not leave the big task to someone else. And when God says he is with us, it's enough. And when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And you know there's a difference between humility and unbelief, and Moses was close. His excuses brought him right up to the line of unbelief. But what Moses learned was that what he thought that had disqualified him, what he thought that had disqualified him, I can't speak, I'm just not that guy, I can't do it. What he thought, it did the opposite. God qualified him because of his weaknesses. And whether he realized it or not, he had been prepared for this task of leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. God knew what he was doing, and he was prepared for that exact moment. He did not go seeking God. That burning bush, he was walking past, and there was that burning bush, and there was God telling him, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. I'm going to tell you something. He wasn't looking for God, but God had put him in a position to where he had no choice but to hear and to respond. Lots of times we think if we don't hear God, or God's not moving us in some direction, that we're all right. But you know, there's a point where God either will let you go and live that normal life with never having any blessings from God and doing anything important for God, or he will intervene with your own little personal burning bush where he'll confront you. You see, Moses was the man. He was that one. And as we come to our, as we saw in our text, we see Moses has changed. He's no longer timid, as we read this text. He no longer hesitates. He's not frozen by discouragement. You see, Moses had enough confidence to confront and battle a world leader. You know, here's the deal. Somebody comes up and says, it's going to be your job to let's just do it this way. To try to convert Vladimir Putin. Okay. Or it's going to be your job to go to Iran and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in Iran. No. You don't understand. I am not qualified. You don't understand. I could die. You don't understand. I would be mocked and ridiculed. You don't understand. God understands. I'm sure that Moses was not naive. Facing Pharaoh was going to be no easy task. And Pharaoh proved to be no pushover. And when Moses and Aaron asked for the release of the Israelites to celebrate a feast, there's no give on Pharaoh's response. His response was one of disdain. Who is this God? Who is this Lord that I should obey His voice? And with that, Pharaoh sounded the challenge, the gauntlet been thrown down, and this is going to be war. And while Moses is more than disappointed with Pharaoh's constant dismissal of him. I mean, this happened 9, 10 times. Nine times? Constant dismissal. No. Moses didn't back down. And here it is we learn from Moses. From Moses, we teaches us that we must have the courage to confront evil. Throughout Scripture, we are warned that we are involved in a warfare that is bigger than we are. The Apostle Paul describes it this way in Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's the battle that we face as children of God every day. And when what Moses faced did not go away. It's something that we still face today. And if we're going to have the courage to confront evil, we need to know how to do it. Well, in our passage this morning, it gives us some instructions on how we too can face the evil that lies in this world today. And we all agree that we're facing a battle against evil today. It's not all rock candy and lollipops and it's all, cotton candy. It's not all sweet out there. Matter of fact, there's an evil. The first instruction that shows us how to confront evil is to be God's ambassador. Joey, can you go to verse 1 for me, please? Be God's ambassador. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. And your brother, Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. Moses was God's representative to Pharaoh. Simply, he was given divine authority over Pharaoh. Moses was acting in God's stead, ruling over Egypt's proud king. So who was Moses? Well, Moses was a fugitive. But God had given him the authority, God's authority, to rule over Pharaoh. To warn him about his hardening heart, Moses performed miracles contrary to the ordinary course of nature. And when he failed to respond, he was the means to punish for the disobedience. In the same way, God uses His people to reach those that are at war with Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, This is how the Apostle Paul describes it. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And we have that same responsibility today. We represent God wherever we go and whomever we meet. We are God's representatives. We live in an evil world where the prince of this world runs free. And we do not need to look far to see his work. It is all about us. I want you to think about this for a second. How often do we shy away? I don't want to get involved in this. There's nothing I can actually do about it, so I'm just going to sit back in my comfortable life and I'm not even going to worry about it. Because God's got it under control. Do you realize that we have that same ambassadorship? Lord said to Randy, see, I have made you as God to this world. In other words, he has given all of us the authority, his backing. And when we say, thus saith the Lord, it is with power and authority. Instead of the shirking and the saying, I can't stand and face this evil of the world. That's other people's problems. Part of the problem we have is, well, that's the preacher's job. No, it's all of our jobs to stand and face evil. It's all of our jobs to be ambassadors for Christ. Nevertheless, we represent God to those who are trapped in Satan's traps. We present God to those who have chosen their own path over God's path. We call on people to give up on their contrary ways and be reconciled to God. We call on people to understand their place in God's creation. We call on people to discover and enjoy their Creator who loves them and desires their best. Yeah. We need to reach those people who need help in this war, who need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The second instruction goes in verse 2. In verse 2 it says, you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his hand. By the way, how many times did Aaron actually speak? I think so. The rest of the time Moses had it. Moses was to say exactly what God said. He was God's prophet. Moses was to say God's words. And that means that he was not free to select select the portions that he wanted to say. Say, Lord, I think you did do a little edit. I think you got this right here, but I'm going to add something to it to help relay this, and I'm going to take away this because that might offend him. But he wasn't free to say whatever he wanted to say. He was not free to come up with a better idea. Moses was to say everything God told him to, and he was not to leave anything out. In the same way, we both have good and bad news to communicate. Yeah, when we talk to somebody about God, we've got good and we've got bad news. Like, note Paul's words in Romans 1, 16 through 18. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. You see, I've got some good news for you. But first I've got to tell you the bad news. God's wrath is upon you unless you listen to the gospel and heed it. His words are powerful. We must never fail to recognize this. His words have reach to the very depths of our soul and speak truth to us, convicting us and convincing us of our needed change. His Word are powerful, and they communicate either good news or bad news for us. If you're out there, when I talked about God's wrath and that was bad news for you, let me tell you, I need to talk to you about the good news. That you can change your situation. You do not have to be under God's wrath by receiving His righteousness. So, God's Word will either convert your soul or confirm your soul in sin. And too often we find a Christian apologizing for what God has said. Apologizing for what God has said. It's not me. It's just what the Bible says. But you know what? There are a lot of folks who won't even leave it there. They'll say, well, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean what it sounds like. Well, sometimes they're right. But a lot of times there are people who will just twist it so they won't have to preach it. They won't have to tell people about their sin. Because we don't want to offend anybody. We pick and choose. We don't want to sound intolerant. We fail to say all that God says. And we are in great danger if we do so. God does not need us to apologize for Him. He doesn't. I'm sorry. This God, He's really not that bad a guy. But, you know, some of the things He says is just not socially acceptable today. There's too much preaching like that. There's too much people who are apologizing for their God. The third instruction we find is found in verse 6. Do what you're told. You see, Moses was to faithfully follow the directions that he was given. To the letter. There was going to be no arguing about what to do. There was to be no more discussion about inadequacies, qualifications. All right, we've already discussed that, got that out of the way. You just do what you're asked to do, you're told to do. Moses was to go to Pharaoh, demand and command. Look what he says. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among you. Then Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded them. They did. So they did. You know, Moses was to go to Pharaoh to demand and command. He was not coming to ask for favors. Could you please let my people go? Please. God will do you some really good favors if you'll do that. I tell you what, Pharaoh, what is it that you want in order to exchange for God for the people to be let go? That's not how Moses was to go before Pharaoh. That's not how we are to confront our enemies. That's not how we are to confront evil, timidly, trying to make a deal, trying to compromise. So, he was coming to convince Pharaoh of his need to change, not God to change. So when the time came to prove it, Moses did what God told him to do. He threw his staff down. It became a serpent. Now, even though Moses does exactly what God tells him to do, the magicians of Pharaoh somehow mimicked the miracle, and they were able to reproduce serpents as well. But I want you to understand they were just mimics. They weren't the real deal because Aaron's snake swallowed up Pharaoh's. He's an expert, Satan is, at the counterfeit. Nevertheless, the power of Moses was superior. Moses, the serpent swallowed up the others. There was a certain minister and an atheistic barber, which some of us probably need to hit back, said Randy. Some of us might need to hit back, going to a barber. But a minister and an atheistic barber were walking through the city slums. And the barber said, this is why. And the slums were all around. He says, this is why I can't believe in your God of love. If He was as kind as you say, He wouldn't permit this kind of poverty, disease, and the run, you know, and the squalor. He wouldn't allow these poor street people to get addicted. No, I can't believe in a God who permits these things. Have you heard that argument? I have. They just missed the entire point. But the minister just heard him say it, and he was silent until they met a man who was especially unkempt. His hair was hanging down around his neck, and he had a half inch of stubble on his face and probably didn't smell too good. The minister said to his friend, "Well, hold on a second, you can't be a good barber. Or you wouldn't permit a man like this to continue living here without a haircut and a shave." The minister said to his friend, "You can't be a good barber if he's walking around like that." Well, indignant, the barber answered, "Well, why blame me for that man's condition? He's never come to my shop. If he had, I'd have fixed him up and made him look like a gentleman." The minister said, "Well, then don't blame God for allowing people to continue in their evil ways." He invites them in to come to him and to be saved. Oh, how God could do some cleaning on some folks if they'd only come to him. We must act on what's right. In James, the first chapter, verse 22, he says, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. How often is it that our actions do not coincide with our words? How often is it that we know the right thing to do and we still do not do it? How often have we failed to speak, but because we were afraid of how people react, that we've gone silent and not spoke? There are areas in our culture today, lots of areas in our culture today, that the church is countercultural and is not politically correct. It goes even a step farther than that. We're being attacked. For years, we would face the evils that we wanted to face. We would pick on the sins that we thought we could easily pick on, and never really face the true evil that's out there. Oh, sure, we'd stand up and we would criticize those who had some moral failings within our church. We'd stand up and we'd say, "Oh, the world needs to do better. The world's a bunch of sinners. The world needs the Lord." And all that's true. But we would pick and choose. But how many times were the church silent when the enemy, Satan, would blatantly enter into our churches, into our schools, and into our government? And what did we say? Nothing. What did we do? Nothing. "Well, I'm comfortable. I'm just going about my business. It's a sad thing what's going on." We must act. You know, this is not a time to be concerned about being called intolerant. "Well, I just don't want to be, I don't want to be called a racist. I don't want to be called a homophobe. I don't want to be called this and that. The world's going to label me as such. They're going to think I'm a Jesus freak, that I'm a, you know, that I'm a denier of science. I'm a denier of science. That I'm superstitious." And the list goes on and on and on about how we're being attacked. And what do? "Well, I'm not superstitious." Listen, we don't have to apologize for God. We don't have to apologize for His Word. We have to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." That's what we have to do. And let the chips fall where they may, because you know what? We are ambassadors. We have His authority and His power in this world. We must do what is right and boldly speak God's word to the evils that abound. This is a time to be in line with God and His ways. So we'll either courageously rise to the challenge of our times, or we'll fearfully remain on the sidelines. Where do you plan on being? This is a challenge. We're in His ambassadors. We are facing evil. And right now, in the past, it has been an evil that has not directly attacked us. And so what do we say? Doesn't bother us. We ain't going to deal with it. Let me tell you, it's changing. Before we know it, the attacks are going to come long and hard before we have a chance to stand and face this evil. Well, if you catch yourself on the sidelines more often than you care to think, be of good courage, have hope, because you can rejoice, yes, well, I pretty much failed. I mean, Moses was on the sideline for 40 years before God used him. Moses would later say to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 10:17, "For the Lord your God," this is Moses talking, "is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God." You see, they were serving the one and only God, the creator of the universe. And as the succeeding plagues came, after all the plagues came through, there was a continual attack against the gods of Egypt. And these gods of Egypt had no chance. The river god, the crops god, the sun god, all failed Egypt miserably when compared to the God. Even the final plague and the judgment against the children of the firstborn of Egypt was a judgment directly against one of their gods. You know who that god was? Pharaoh. They was considered a god. And it was a judgment against Pharaoh. Yes, in the Egyptian culture, Pharaoh was considered a god, the man god. And he suffered a humiliating defeat against the one true God of Moses and Aaron. God can overcome anything. But realize this too. Realize that God accepts no substitutes. There's only one God, as it says in Exodus 23, "You shall have no other gods before me." He won't accept a substitute God. But we live in a culture that has many replacements for God. There's a God of convenience and choice. And that demonstrates itself in abortion and just a whole host of other things that involve self-centeredness. There's a God of tolerance. A God that which refuses to make any judgments whatsoever. It's like live and let live. I don't have the right to judge anybody else's life. I'm just going to stay. No, you have the right to judge sin. To stand up against it. You have the right to stand up against evil where you see it. There's a God of recreation that demonstrates itself in choosing times of pleasure over the worship of God. The list of gods could go on and on. Nevertheless, we must take note of each one of them. And we must have the courage to face all these evils and to wholeheartedly reject them. And if we are caught in any of them, we must reverse course, because God will not compromise. Many of us, whether we want to admit it or not, have tried to make deals with God. We've tried to make God compromise on His Word and make you the exception. Make me the exception. But Lord, you understand, I'm a faithful servant. I know I got this issue over here, but I'm one of yours. Right? There's no punishment for me. We all fall short. We can't make deals. We just got to admit it. When Pharaoh wouldn't let the people of Israel go, he was in effect establishing his right to rule over Israel over God's right. Pharaoh was saying, "No, they're my people. And God says, no, let my people go. Pharaoh was trying to actually enforce his will over God, enforce his authority. How many of you say, well, that was terrible, why did he do that? But don't we do that all in our lives? Don't we tell God about what we'll be in control over and what He will be in control over? It happens constantly. But when he did this, when he hardened his heart, he was declaring himself God's enemy, and he was settling himself up for setting himself up for judgment. You see, you can't bargain with God. You can't rewrite His words or do as you please. He does not stand for any compromise. It's not in His nature. Therefore, be wise. Get on His side and courageously confront evil, just as Moses. And when you know God is with you, you can go and you can make a difference. That's how we face evil. By understanding that we're God's ambassador. By saying what we are commanded to say, and by doing what we are commanded to do. You say, Brother Randy, I don't know. I don't know what it is I'm supposed to say. I don't know what I... This is the reason why we study this book. To understand what God wants us to do. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes before I close. We live, as the church, we are living in unprecedented times right now. We are facing a true evil. Now, I don't like calling anybody, any other human beings evil. I don't like it. But it's true. Before I was saved, I was an evil person doing whatever. We have to face it. There's a lot of terrible, terrible things going on around us. A lot of bad things happening. There's a lot of hate that's being spewed. And the church cannot sit quiet. You said, Brother Ernie, what are we going to do? Well, number one, we can help a little bit by voting. Okay? Take some initiative. Do not ever dare complain about who your president is, who your governor is, or who if you haven't voted. That is one of the things Christians can do. And compare your candidates by God's Word. Now, that's the number one. But you know what the greatest thing we can do? When we face evil, we face them with love. Reading God's Word. Telling them about how they can come to know the Christ. Come to know the God that we know. Show them through our lives, being an ambassador, showing the power of God through your life and standing and saying, no, that is wrong. And here's how we could, and here's how you could come to know Jesus as your Savior. Tell them about His love, about how He loved us so much that even though we were lost and dying and there was no hope for us, we couldn't keep the law enough. We couldn't. There's no one that could keep from sinning. And that Jesus Christ came down. God sent His only begotten Son and came down and lived a perfect life and gave His life for us. Took the penalty of sin away and offered the invitation for them to come and to know the love of God as we know it. Too often, though, the way we respond is, you're an evil sinner. You get away from me. I want nothing to do with you. We're just going to close up our ranks. Jesus, friend of sinners. And He was, because He was my friend. And because He's our friend, He gave His life for us so that we'd have the opportunity one day to live and to rule and to reign with Him. So it is time to stand. You say, as a church, no, I don't believe getting into politics and making these proclamations. But as individuals, as we leave this building, we present ourselves as individual ambassadors for Christ, showing Christ wherever we go and whoever we meet. And when we when it comes time for us to face the evil, I'm not talking about go out and protesting and rioting and all that. I'm just talking about one-on-one. When you're facing that evil, God's going to give you the words, and He'll give you the things to say with love and compassion, but truth. We have to take that stand. We got to get off the fence. We got to quit hiding in our sanctuaries. Think about it. We got to quit hiding in our sanctuaries and come out and face the evil. Well, you say, Brother Randy, it won't do any good. I don't know that, do you? If God is leading you somewhere to say something or to do something for someone, He has a purpose in mind. What was the purpose? God knew that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart 10 times, 9 times. What He's saying? He said, so that Egypt may know the power of the true and living God. If nothing else is done when we stand and face evil, that can happen. And I can't even imagine what God can do with that. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's your first step. The first evil that you have to face is yourself. Yes, you have to face yourself. Realize that you're lost and dying, and you'll never be able to be with God. You'll find yourself in the pits of hell unless you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You are the evil that will send you to hell. May you make that, and I'll tell you, you'll need to know this message of salvation, and you need to come to know Him. But what about us Christians who have been hunkering in our bunkers for so long? Complaining about the evil that's out there but never truly facing it. It's time. It's time. And we all face it one-on-one, and we'll end up having to face it probably one day as a church body. Listen to what God says. Tells us to say. And then to do what God wants us to do. And it'll be okay. Because we have the power of God behind us. And it'll be fine. Let's not be scared. Let's not worry about what the world's going to say. Let's worry about what God's going to do. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I just hope and pray that we are all willing to stand and face the evil that's among us. And if you don't know, if you don't realize today that the evil is right there on our doorstep, you need to really be well watched and listen. We don't know the time or the day, but Jesus told us we know that we can see the season. It's coming winter. It's getting winter. We can see it. The evil's out there. There are godless people who are bent on destruction, anything that God has.